Good morning and welcome to the Friday, October 26th edition of Byers & Company. Our education spotlight with District 61 will introduce you to the new assistant superintendent. Check in with Mark Topper and Topper on Sports and our Brinkhouser Home Highlight. It all starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a rainy, dreary day. You're telling me this is going to get out of here, though, right? And it's only 20% chance tonight at Boo at the Zoo?
Yeah, just a 20% chance tonight. Now, that is always, of course, subject to change. It is the weather.
I know it is. This time of year is a little unpredictable. But rain or shine, we will be at the zoo for our Newhoff Media Night at Boo at the Zoo. And you can bring a poncho, whatever. It's going to be fine. Temperatures look like they're going to be like fairly mild, too. I mean, it's not going to like drop through the floor, right, tonight?
No, not 40s. At all. It's only 40s. Yeah, okay, that's not too bad.
I never know what to do.
Witches don't melt in the rain.
I know.
And you know what? Mom, Dad, put the underarm, under stuff on. Don't make them wear coats.
Yeah, coats over your costumes.
That was never
terrible when you were a kid, right?
I mean, really hard on this.
They got to put a winter coat over your costume. All right, 5:30 tonight at Scoville Zoo. We'll be out there for Boo at the Zoo. And it's our biggest night of the year as far as Boo at the Zoo because we bring all the extra candy. So you're going to get a lot of cool stuff tonight. All right, great pleasure to welcome to the program the new assistant superintendent to District 61, Dr. Fred Bouchard. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Perfect. Yes.
All right. 10 weeks into the job, and Paul's already throwing you in here in the lion's den all by yourself. Where are you from originally?
I was in Kansas City. Worked with Dr. Vrigo in Kansas City, and we met each other probably 25 years ago across the field in Northeast Missouri when we were coaching against one another.
Okay, so it goes back a long ways.
Yeah.
All right, and so you've been here, what, 10 weeks, you said?
Well, actually, 1st of August, okay. So maybe 12.
Okay, a little bit. So what if I get thrown right in? August, right? School starts and you're ready to go. So what are your responsibilities as an assistant superintendent here at District 61?
You bet. I'm overseas support services, so buildings and grounds and maintenance. And
yeah.
I also work with support services. And you know what? I work pretty closely with the high school, and because I've been involved in athletics most of my life, they said, hey, why don't we roll the ADs and the athletic programs into that also.
So that's got to be fun, then. So you keep your hand in that area.
You bet.
So you coach, what sport did you coach?
Mainly a football coach.
Okay.
I spent 23 years as a head coach. And
I heard you had some pretty good success.
We did. We had some really good players, and they overcame all the coaching we tried to give them.
Yeah,
there. So
it happens occasionally.
Yeah, we had some really nice kids and some really nice teams through that process.
All right. Well, the sports, I tell you, it's hard to place a value on it. I mean, and I know that some people think sports is overvalued, but I don't believe there's anything that brings alums and community back to a school like a winning team. I mean, I just tell you, packs gymnasiums, packs football stands, to have a team in the playoffs, MacArthur's going to be playing, this weekend. That's important to keep people connected to your district, isn't it?
You bet. I want to tell everybody, I didn't pay Brian to say that.
No, I believe it.
That's absolutely exactly how I feel. I think it's really the kind of the lifeblood, the breath of a community and of a district. A lot of times runs through those activities, and I'll say all activities, because the people who really engage in band or theater or choir or a sports team,
all of it's important.
It's stuff that they will carry with them through their whole life, and that's where passions exist, and you can get excited about people who are passionate about those things.
Yeah, and I get all of the, people will say, well, football and basketball gets all the love, and I get it, and that's, it's just as important to celebrate the soccer team or the debate team or any other extracurricular activity. All that's important to the kids. But I'm talking about just bringing the crowds back to your schools and having them involved, and that means more donations to the foundation. That means more involvement in the schools. Football, a winning football team, a winning basketball team does that.
Yeah, those are the big events. I think of a Friday night when the band's playing and the cheerleaders are out there.
Yeah.
There's a dance team and there's
it's more than just a football team.
It's really building community within those areas. And anytime we can do that, where the schools are the center of the community, that's really important.
Well, and District 61 has done a better job in recent years of understanding the importance of those programs. I think for a long time it was just sort of, we have a football team, we have a basketball team, and they didn't really care whether there was any winning involved. And I'm telling you, we're a University of Illinois affiliate here, proudly so, but their football team's struggling, and you could just watch the interest sort of go away. You know, so just having a team isn't good enough. Having competitive teams is what it's all about. And so the last recent years, both MacArthur and Eisenhower having some runs in the postseason, getting into the playoffs, that's a big deal.
You bet. MacArthur plays tomorrow at 1:30 against Morton. So come on out. It's at MacArthur High School, and we think we're going to have a great show. It sounds like the weather has a little window break in there.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. Yeah, football's,
you know,
okay.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of what you expect there.
So. All right, so facility plans. I know Dr. Frigo was just the featured speaker one of the featured speakers at the Community Leaders Breakfast a couple of weeks back. Saw Dr. Frigo was actually at Diamonds and Desserts last night because there was a check presentation to Hope Academy from one of the Girl Scout troops, and so he said to say hello. But there's a lot of excitement and change coming to District 61 as you sort of reimagine what the facilities look like and what those look like in 2018. I mean, this is something that most communities are going through. I mean, Chicago went through this, to a lot of controversy. I mean, you've got so many students and so much bricks and mortar, and how do you make all that make sense?
And really, that's kind of what we had to, and obviously a much smaller scale, we were able to look at it and study that. You know, schools, districts with our population, we started looking around the state of how many buildings they have live and how many buildings they have going. And really it became, we had a lot more buildings than school districts that had around 9 or 10,000 students. And so we talked about how do we maybe maximize our resources, combine things. We've spread some things pretty thin, and people are starting to kind of understand that, you know what, maybe I get a full-time social worker because I'll have a bigger elementary school instead of some having to share some of those duties in some of those areas. So we're excited about it. Plus, there'll be a newness to it. And I think anytime you're able to build new and look at 21st century instructional spaces and learning areas, there's a lot of things we've learned in the last 50 years.
Oh, there's no doubt. And there are real world problems with these old structures. I mean, people don't believe this, but, you know, I was on the Public Schools Foundation board when we bought the first Promethean boards, you know, the first smart boards that go in a classroom. And literally at the old Eisenhower High School, you know, in one wing, if one teacher wanted to have that on, the other teachers had to unplug their. I mean, because you were dealing with 1950s, you know, electricity, plugging in 2017 smart technology.
Yeah. I had not heard that story. It's just the truth. That's a great one. That's kind of what you deal with. You know, you deal with a lot of handicap accessibility. Yeah. You know, ADA came in the early 90s, and some of those expectations and some of those codes, and really how we treat our population, that it does get older and it is get aging. So we know there's some areas where, you know, people, those are real struggles because of the facilities we have. So we're hoping to change that, and we have a chance to rebuild Johns Hill.
Yeah, now, let's start with those considerations, because I truly believe I had this question for a number of superintendents. I asked Dr. Frigo the first time I talked to him when he was new in the district. If you've got waiting list for programs, why are you not expanding those programs? I mean, if there are people that want in those programs and can't get in because there's a waiting list, why are you not replicating that across the district? And this is looking at Johns Hill, looking at Montessori schools, looking at Dennis, and saying, how do we do more of this?
Absolutely. And that was, again, that was what we think our community's been talked to us about. Now, I do believe we got to make our neighborhood schools great while we're making our magnet schools great.
Sure.
And when we're working on both levels, they kind of walk lock and step together. This is really going to be a great opportunity for some of those programs
to increase the capacity, basically.
To expand.
Yeah.
And we've heard that. And so hopefully here, when this is all to fruition, there'll be a lot of extra space for students in those areas of specialty.
All right. Now, all buildings will have air conditioning. You know, this has become more and more of a problem. And it is a complex problem. From a parent's perspective, it's frustrating because it's sort of like you got to change all your work plans and I get state funding goes into this. It's a decision that you make or you don't make, and you're not ever going to make everyone happy. But the fact is, we lost a lot of days, you know, this fall because of the heat.
Absolutely. The other part of it that's a spillover benefit of having air conditioning is we can expand the school year into the summer a little bit more, because there's a lot of that 3-month gap. We know from studies and research that there's some learning that's lost during that time. And if we can kind of capture some weeks, obviously not a whole summer, I don't think we're prepared to jump into that, but each of those schools being able to serve their neighborhoods and their areas, maybe we decrease that learning slide a little bit, so when they come back in August, that ready to hit the ground running a little bit. So yeah, that is a big, big need. It's an immediate need. And in some ways, when I talked to Dr. Frigo around and talked about, you'll see on the last page, you know, some of our athletic facilities, mm-hmm. if we're going to be a school a destination district, then one of the things is that for some of our families, that's really important.
It is important. I can tell you, if you go back to when Lindsay was in high school at Moreau Forsyth, you know, part of the band's duties was to go move the cows off the football field. And if you go out there now and see that, you know, what a winning football team will do for a school district, yeah. And now they've got state of the art, and, you know, it is a big deal.
Well, all our, you know, Argenta,
yeah.
They just opened up their facility, Mount Zion. So, yeah. So we're surrounded by these school districts that have that, but it's really hard to justify having those and then not having air conditioning in 8 or 10 schools.
Yeah, it's a balancing act, no doubt. So what's the timeline for all of this?
You know, we're gonna start some stuff this next semester. We're combining Thomas Jefferson Middle School with Stephen Decatur Middle School at Stephen Decatur.
Okay.
We're working with BLDD with some of the programming. We're talking about they're actually going to create an innovative classroom in Stephen Decatur that we can bring different teachers and different classrooms in to utilize. And so it will allow us next year to redo and kind of do the inside of Thomas Jefferson so it meets the Montessori needs.
Okay.
And again, that's a really big program. So that's one of the big moves. We're also moving Harris Elementary over to Hope, the K-8 building over there. And then we're moving the alt school, and we're going to expand our alt school program. We think we have some needs from K to 12, and we're going to expand that and move our alt school down to Harris.
So the alternative ed will then all move to Harris.
Yes.
Then. Okay.
Yep, they'll be there.
All right. And then you'll continue to what happens in the one middle school at Stephen Decatur you talked about, the renovation of TJ for a Montessori campus. What would that mean?
And you know what? Because we have two Montessori schools, both Enterprise and Garfield are our Montessoris.
Yeah.
We combine them together. But combining them together, it's maybe 550 or so kids right now. By moving to TJ, that'll expand up to 750 or right under 800. So we should be able to have some capacity for those families who want to enter Montessori. And that will occur in the following school year. So that would be August
2020.
Because we have that year to build that school. And then we're also the big part of the project is the health life safety dollars that we're able to rebuild Johns Hill School. And the students will stay there for in the old Johns Hill, but right next door or somewhere right there close on that hill, they'll see their new school build up right before their very eyes.
And that would be opening the year 2021.
That 2021, yeah. It'll take a little time to build it. That usually that's a 15-16 month process to kind of get that out of the ground, and then certainly we have the design and all the work that we're doing there.
All right, and then French would be moving to the Enterprise campus?
It will, yeah. Okay. So that's the STEM school. And that's another one of our magnet schools. But I think Stephen Decatur Middle School is going to pick up on some of the STEM concepts and try to be, you know, a place where we can finish some of those STEM programs. And we're also looking at expanding the Ag Academy down into the middle schools. That's really been successful at our high schools. We've been really, really, I guess I have been astonished by the number of students who have jumped into that and number of students who realize that ag is no longer actually farming and digging. There's so many jobs that are related that they can dive into. So that's been really great for our community and a number of our students.
All right. So then Dennis Lab, the French STEM program, that's science, technology, engineering, and math, would move to Enterprise campus. Then Dennis Lab would expand to two campuses.
Yeah, and Dennis Lab that school's awfully crowded right now by opening up the French and kind of looking at them as sister campuses. And they're currently, that group of teachers are on fire. I was excited. They came to the board and said, hey, we're ready to jump in and start studying dual campuses. And
well, you know, it's amazing because you build something like that. And I would say the staff and the administration there, but equally important is, you know, the parents, you know, in that neighborhood, because they really did create a destination location with Dennis Lab. I mean, there's just no doubt. And the partnership with Millikan University, all the things that have happened over there, you know, it shows you what you can do. And I think one of the first things Dr. Frigo mentioned when he got to town was, you know, he was looking at real estate listings and, you know, people would say, you know, Mount Zion School District. And the only place in District 61 where that was happening is a Dennis School. You know, they were bragging about that, you know, when they were selling a home in the West End. So the idea that you're planning on expanding that and having two campuses, that just sounds amazing to me.
Yeah, it'll be a really good program. And that really is, again, a credit to the families and the staff members. Because it kind of transcends necessarily a facility. It's an older facility, but, boy, they do great work in that.
Okay. And then it looks like construction of additions to Muffley, Franklin, Parsons, and a lot of that's air conditioning. But then you'll combine Muffley and Baum at Muffley?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
what happens to BOM?
You know what? We're still thinking about how do we repurpose BOM. Can we look at a pre-K expanding our? We know that by jumping in and grabbing our younger kids, that they're ready to learn some stuff at 3 years, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years old, and
right.
How can we serve them? And we're just going to look at different opportunities we have there. We also talked about an enrichment center, a center for the gifted. You know, we know that there's some students who really want this super top end experience, and if we can bring them together, and whether it's every day or whether it's one day a week, to have a location they go in and just learn differently and visit with their peers about some of those innovative ideas that go through the minds of really smart people. I wouldn't know necessarily how that feels.
No, I get you. Some of this is going to be an evolving and moving thing. I mean, as the school districts, you know, as the population changes, as trends change, I get that. But basically, you're going to have five fewer school buildings when all is said and done.
Yep.
Which is going to save on cost. It's going to, you know, you're going to maximize programs and ability to get in those programs. You're going to better use what you have at Stephen Decatur, what you have at Hope, you know, those campuses, the safety upgrades, the air conditioning, all that we're talking about. Now, the future considerations, the one thing that has generated a lot of talk is, you know, when Paul talked about transitioning to one high school, everybody went, whoa, wait a minute. What's this about? So what are, I know that none of this has been decided. It's just, it's on the table for consideration. What might that look like?
You know what? There's a lot of high schools around our state, around 2,000, 2,100 students. Right now, I think we have 2,150 high school students at our two high schools.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily make it – it's a big high school, but we have others all over the state that are quite a bit bigger. I think it goes back to really allowing to have that esprit de corps rallying around that one school, kind of a return to tradition. You know, I'm looking at some of the Hall of Fame people out here that are graduates of the original sure. Stephen Decatur High School or just Decatur High
yeah.
School. And so I think there are some real benefits that would allow the district to kind of rally behind that one. However, I think, you know, right now we have those two high schools and we want to make those two high schools destination schools until some decision is made of that.
Yeah, Dr. Frigo mentioned that maybe one high school might be freshman only. Or I mean, we're looking, I mean, you know, I think it's great that people are looking at outside-the-box ideas. I mean, just because it's, and you always had the crowd, well, you know, we did it this way. We did a lot of things one way, and, you know, now there's technology and the world's a whole different place. I think this one will be a tougher one for you guys because the citizens, you know, of Macon County, you know, voted first time out, which is rare with a referendum, you know, for school funding, to renovate those two high schools and believed in public education for these kids. And so you're going to have some work cut out for you to spin that one, you know, as because on the table, you know, they spent a year going out into the community going, what do you want? Now, I was in favor of one big high school. I mean, because that was one of the options at the time. You know, do we close both of these high schools and build a brand new one? Do we renovate these two high schools as they exist? And the community decided they wanted to keep MacArthur High School. They wanted to keep Eisenhower High School. I thought, just like you mentioned, man, you combine all these students, you're going to have the top pick of athletes, the top, you know, your football team is going to be pretty good. But that's not what the citizens wanted. So there's still a lot of conversation to be had about that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Again, it was for future consideration. What we know is we have two state-of-the-art facilities, though, in those two buildings, and we certainly would maximize them.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to shutter one of the buildings. Yeah, it just might be repurposed to come. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but it is a little bit out of the box. I think, you know, our growth tendencies, we've seen, you know, when that vote kind of came out in 2009 or 10 in that range, school district had some more students, maybe didn't quite see the trend, but we're going to keep – that's a very fluid situation, and
sure.
We're not jumping into it. And like I said, currently our job is to make all our schools outstanding. So we're going to stay committed to two high schools until we hear different marching orders. And it will go through a lot of rent cycles, Brian, before I think we ever get to
it. No doubt about it. Well, I'll tell you what, thinking ahead and thinking outside the box is what's important. And education has changed and competition has changed. And to have – parents that move here or come to work at ADM and bring their families with her. I mean, I look at what District 61 is offering now versus 10, 15 years ago, and it's light years ahead of where it was. And it's good to see because our guys at Eisenhower High School is a freshman, and he's having a great time. Our experience could not be better. But I still run into people that give me that sort of questioning look about why are you sending your, you know, like, I don't know why he spent, you know, 8 years at Johns Hill and had an amazing experience. And his 4 years at Eisenhower are going to be the same. And I would hope more people would invest in their hometown school district because you guys are doing amazing things. Good luck to MacArthur tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Thanks, Brian.
All
Thanks
right. Well, everything. We appreciate you coming in today. Good to meet you and welcome to the community.
Thank you.
12 weeks in. Paul's got him in here all by himself.
Yeah.
All right.
That's, he handled himself.
Yes,
thank
he
you
did.
Very much.
Thank you. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back here, we've got Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports and so much more as the Buyers and Company Show continues. It's Dr. Fred Bouchard, the Assistant Superintendent for District 61. Stay tuned. Here's Lindsay with your three-day forecast.
Some rain this morning, but that is going to be tapering off about noon today with highs near 51 degrees. Tonight, 20% chance of rain showers before 10 p.m. Cloudy and lows around 40. Then for your Saturday, partly sunny skies with highs near 56 degrees. Sunday, 40% chance of showers before 1 p.m., partly sunny and highs around 58 degrees. It is 45 degrees in downtown Decatur.
Judge Roger Weber is a man of integrity. My name is Julie Daly, and I served on a jury in Judge Roger Weber's courtroom. As an attorney, Roger Weber represented all types of people with legal issues. That's why, as a judge, he demonstrates fairness and compassion to all parties. Judge Roger Weber has patience and understanding for all parties. Roger Weber is a man of integrity and someone we need protecting us. So join me in voting on November 6th for Judge Roger Weber.
Paid for by citizens to elect Roger Weber.
One person can make a difference, and difference creates change. And change can lead to something better, some place better, where our young people thrive, our businesses prosper, our schools and parks flourish, where art inspires us, where our streets are safe and our future is bright. It is with your generosity that our community is made stronger. It is with your generosity that lives can change. At the Community Foundation of Macon County, we connect the philanthropic goals of donors like you with the needs of our community. The Community Foundation of Macon County, because it starts with you. Find out how to give at endowdecatur.org or make an appointment by calling 429-3000. Be that one person who makes a difference.
In the 101st District, conservative reformer Dan Calkins is the right choice for our families. As our state representative, Dan Calkins will lead the fight for lower taxes, balanced budgets, and good-paying jobs. Dan Calkins shares our Central Illinois values. He's endorsed by pro-life advocates, Second Amendment supporters, and the Illinois Farm Bureau Activator. Change Springfield. On November 6th, elect Dan Calkins to fight for us.
Paid for by the committee to elect Dan Calkins.
Back here on a Friday. Coming up, Mark Tupper will recap the Brad Underwood show last night and a little PGA with that Tiger Mickelson matchup. That is right after the news. Jeff Daly is standing by in the WSOY newsroom. Tupper on sports coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
WSOY news time is 7:29. Filled with optimism for the upcoming season, a crowd of Illinois faithful filled a banquet room at the Hickory Point Golf Club last night for a special edition of Sport Talk with second-year Fighting Illini men's basketball coach Brad Underwood. He was joined by assistant coach of the Illini, Jamal Walker, as they talked with host Mark Tupper and Tim Kaine about what fans can expect for the upcoming season. Underwood said the team is full of competitors who have previous success in their basketball careers, and that's what coaches are looking for from their players.
For the most part, these guys compete, and I think by definition that happens when you get winners. And I've talked about it at length in the recruiting process. That's one of the things that we tried to evaluate was the character piece of winning.
Mark Tupper will have more on last night's visit with Coach Underwood coming up. You can also find a full podcast of last night's show with the coach at nowdecatur.com. More news on the way after Fox News covers the world on News Talk 1340 WSOY AM 103.3 FM and streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The FBI and local police have been searching a postal facility in Opa-locka, Florida, looking for clues about 10 potentially explosive devices sent to critics of President Trump.
Authorities believe some of the packages addressed to high-profile Democrats went through that location. They're also going over surveillance footage of self-mailing machines located there, as well as video footage shot at businesses in the area.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. Barack Obama's back on the campaign trail today.
The former president visits an African-American high school on Milwaukee's north side in a campaign stop for U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Governor Scott Walker's challenger, schools chief Tony Evers.
President Donald Trump will visit Charlotte tonight to campaign for Republican Mark Harris, who is running for North Carolina's 9th congressional district against Democrat Dan McCready.
That was Fox's Jeff Manasso and Tanya J. Powers. We're 11 days away from the midterm elections. This is Fox News.
WSOY News Time, 7:31. Between now and the days after Thanksgiving, 256 high school football teams will try to win their last game. Playoffs start this weekend. Something different about football playoffs in the state this year, said Matt Troha, assistant executive director for the Illinois High School Association, which governs interscholastic sports in the state. This is the only IHSA sport that you have to qualify for the postseason, Troha said. In basketball or baseball, if you go 0-25 at the end of the year, you're still going to have that chance. You're going to get placed into a regional or a sectional, and you're going to have that chance to compete and potentially go for a state championship. But in football, you have to qualify, and it certainly makes it special. While there aren't concrete figures, anecdotally, Troha says there's an economic bump for local communities that host playoff games as well. He said he'd like to think that anytime you host an IHSA event, whether it be a regional tournament or a sectional tournament or a playoff game, there is some local benefit to that. There are 8 classes of football in Illinois, which means 8 state champions, and we have a full weekend of football coming up for you starting tonight as Sarah Gordo-Bement is at Argentina Orienta. Our sister station ESPN 1050 will have that for you with a pregame at 6:30. Then on ESPN tomorrow, Chester at Warrensburg Latham, 12:30 pregame. Here on WSOY, we'll have St. T taking on Staunton. 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock kickoff. That'll be followed by Illinois and Maryland. We'll join that game in progress. There's a 2:30 kickoff time there. And then tomorrow night, Millikan football on our sister station ESPN The Fan as they take on Illinois Wesleyan. Pregame at 5:30. Your next news is coming up at the top of the hour. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom for Newhoff Media, media made locally.
I'm Tony Chubby Brown, and I'm running for Macon County Sheriff. After completing military service, I joined the Macon County Sheriff's Office, and for the past 28 years, I've been honored to serve the community in a variety of positions within the department. I am running for Macon County Sheriff as this allows me to combine two things I'm extremely passionate about, law enforcement and our community. I strongly feel the Sheriff's Office belongs to all the citizens of Macon County. On November 6th, check Chubby on your ballot.
Paid for by Antonio Brown for Sheriff.
For well over a century, the Gerber State Bank has been committed to providing exceptional financial services to its customers. Founded in 1887, Gerber State Bank is one of the oldest independently owned and operated community banks in Macon County, with offices in Argentina and Orianna. Currently, Gerber State Bank is providing to individuals a 2-for-2 CD plan, a 2% annual percentage yield CD for a 2-year term. Stop in today or call Gerber State Bank at 795-2331. Minimum CD deposit, $1,000.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
A little rain this morning. That should taper off about noon today. Highs around 51. Then for tonight, 20% chance we'll see some rain showers before 10 p.m. Cloudy and lows around 40 degrees. For your Saturday, partly sunny, highs near 56. Sunday, 40% chance of showers before 1 p.m. Partly sunny with highs near 58 degrees. It is 45 degrees in downtown Decatur.